usually our minhag is that we talk about controversial topics, things they don't talk about during the rest of the year. So I'll tell you the truth, I didn't think this topic was so controversial, but I think by the time I finish talking about it, people might think it's controversial. So I thought we should talk about something which is, I think, a very, very relevant issue, which has many halachic issues related to it, and that's the notion of what age children should be brought to shul for davening. So I thought that's an appropriate topic. I didn't think that there was anything controversial about it, but I may find out by tomorrow that I was wrong on that. So let's talk about it really from a pure halachic issue. What are the issues that we should be aware of in this particular question? So the truth is that the sugya really begins in Parshat Vayelech. It begins in the sugya of Hakel, which is, of course, relevant for sukkahs. Those who were around, I don't know how many years ago was Hakel already. It was 3 years ago. 2 years, 3 years ago. Yeah. Not really. So we gave a shiur on the second day of sukkahs. We gave a whole shiur about Hilchos Hakel. I don't know if anyone remembers back to those days. But when it comes to Hakel, so the Torah gives us a special mitzvah for everybody to come to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Torah seems pretty clear that it's everyone's supposed to come. Ha'anoshim va'anoshim va'taf. This is an exception to the regular rule, because normally Hakel should have been a mitzvah zeh she'es mangrama. It's a positive mitzvah that can only be performed at a certain time of the year, so one would have expected that women would be pturos. But here the Torah says mefarish, the women have to come, hanoshim also. And then the Torah throws in a strange phrase called taf. It's a taf. What in the world does taf mean? So taf usually means little children, usually means babies. So who exactly is the Torah expecting is going to come for Hakel? So the Ramban has and Hakel's is a long time. They're reading a half a Sefer Devarim. It takes a while to get to Hakel. So the Ramban has a comment in the Parshas Vayelech, where the Ramban says that it's hard for him to believe that the taf the Torah is describing means mamish babies. He says, Yonke Shanai, babies that are nursing. He says, what are they going to come for? They're just going to destroy, they're going to make a mess, they're going to make noise. What are they going to come into the Beis HaMikdash for? So the Ramban says, obviously the Torah must be referring to children who are a little bit older. So how old exactly are the children? So it clearly can't mean over bar mitzvah. Over bar mitzvah, they're ready. Anoshim, they're ready to mend themselves. So who is the Torah speaking? Who is this mysterious taf that the Torah is referring to? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, it means the gil chinuch. It means that the child's old enough to understand. He's going to come, he's going to hear the Sefer Torah, so it's going to be meaningful for him. So I would have said, it's the regular din of a gil chinuch. Now, that would have been an interesting idea if I would have been right. I may defer to the Rabban in a moment, but if I would have been right, that would have been a very interesting idea, because usually we think of the term of a gil chinuch as something which is relevant for dinim on a level of the Rabbanon. You don't say, Min HaTorah, only a gadol is chayav in sukkah. But the Rabbanon, once a child is a gil chinuch, he's chayav in sukkah. Min HaTorah, only a gadol is chayav in kiddush and Shabbos. And the Rabbanon, once he's a gil chinuch, he's ready chayav in mitzvahs. So this would have been an example of a concept of chinuch on a level of the Araisa. So the Ramban stays a little bit just quite shy of this notion of chinuch. And the Ramban says he thinks that the age for these ketanim is not the shear of chinuch. He thinks it's a little bit before chinuch. That's his lashon. He says, because after all, we want the sukkim sound like we're trying to give him a little bit of a jump start on learning in Yer Yishevayim. The pasuk is Laman Yishmul, Laman Yom, Viyaru, whatever the pasuk is saying, that we want to give them a little bit of a hasag of Yer Yishevayim, of Kabbalah Satara. So you don't have to wait until the 8 or 9, whatever the shear of Gil Chinuch is. He says, even a little bit before, but says the Ramban, to say that you have to bring babies. So he says, he thinks that's ridiculous. He says, to bring babies to the Beis HaMikdash, thank you so much. He says, what are you bringing babies to the Beis HaMikdash for? Because you're hot this to me. Yeah, it's official. But then the Ramban makes it about face. And the Ramban says, even though it appears to him as another portion, that it doesn't make any sense to bring little children who are not either formally Gil Chinuch or children who are before the age of a Gil Chinuch. The Ramban says that, but he defers to what appears to be the Super Redeem Chazal, because the Gemara Masechet Sota asks the question, Anoshim, I understand, the men are coming to learn, and the Noshim, they're coming to hear. And why the Taf coming? So the Gemara says, Lahav Elitens Chalim Eviyayim, to give reward to the parents who are bringing them. So the says the Ramban, the simple reading of Chazal sounds like Lahavis Chalim Aviyeh means there's really no reason why they're coming. That means they're not gaining anything from coming. If the Ramban was right, he says, if I'm right that the children who the Torah is referring to are are old enough, they're either literally Gil Chinuch or they're currently Gil Chinuch, so then why do Chazal have to go searching for another reason? You should have said it's obvious. Of course you have to bring the kids because you want them to participate in understanding and hearing Hakel. So the simple reading of Chazal is, is that Lahavi Schal V'yayim means that even though the children gain nothing from it, that they're mamish babies. And unless we're dealing with such malachim children who are quiet all the time, and so they're making a racket, and it's still Lahavi Schal V'yayim. That's what the Ramban takes a little bit of a backpedal. So he says he thinks that the Igra Din is not this way, but the Lashon Chazal sounds a little bit the other way. So that's a shaila. That Lashon Chazal really mean that? So there are others who say, no, Chazal didn't mean Litein Tzchal V'yayim to mean that to bring the babies. The Ramban Svar is right. Of course you don't bring the baby. When you bring the baby, it's the basic for. He says, obviously it means you're a little bit older. So it just means that the Gedolim are going to get the schar for doing it. It doesn't mean that there's no other purpose. That even though the children are a little bit older, but the eager reason for bringing them is Litein Tzchal V'yayim. So it's still unclear. So back to the Baal of Hakel, it's a little bit unclear. The question is, even a niach that we should assume that for some strange reason, maybe the simple reading Chazal is correct, that you do bring the little babies to Hakel. The question is whether we should extrapolate from Hakel to our regular shuls, to regular davening. So one could argue this Hakel was once every 7 years. It wasn't bring the kids to the Daf Yomi. See, okay, that's one thing. Well, the mice, you don't bring the kids to Daf Yomi every day. No one does that yet. So okay, maybe so out of 92,000 people, so some of the people didn't learn Daf Yomi. Okay, so I understand. So we gave a drasha about this a couple of weeks ago in shul, that Hakel was primarily not really an educational experience in the sense of, it wasn't book learning. The purpose of Hakel was experiential learning. It was to give the chavaya, to give the experience, the excitement of, so then I can begin to understand. So you want the kids to get a flavor of that also. So even though the kid's 3 or 4, he's not really going to understand what the melech is talking about. He's not going to understand Sefer Devarim. So it makes sense. Maybe you could argue it makes sense to bring the kids there. But to bring them week in, week out, that's not really an experience. That's for davening. That's for the mitzvah of davening. So that would be like the same way that you don't bring the little kids to Daf Yomi every day. So you bring them to the sea, but you don't bring them every day. So maybe you can't even extrapolate from Hakel. Hakel is a totally different model. So that's the way the poskim usually assume. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this idea that the poskim have always frowned upon bringing little children into shul. They feel that there's nothing gained by it. And if there's nothing gained by it, so then the question is, do you lose things from it? So the answer is, of course you lose things from it. A lot of things that you lose from it. So if you're not really gaining anything, bringing kids and not understand what's going on anyway, so what are you gaining? Nothing. And what are you losing? A lot. So number one, first and foremost, you're losing is that you're interrupting other people from davening properly. So that's a problem in Alma Mokom, that's a problem in Alma Chavero, that's a problem of Mora of Beis HaKnesses, of all what the aura of davening is supposed to look like. Again, if there would be as Adin, the Yimuchliv to, okay, what do you do? Then that's what the Torah says. But even by Hakel itself, we're not even sure there's such a din. And Kavach Chaymer, to outside the realm of Hakel, it doesn't seem like there would be anything gained by any child who has not yet reached a point where he's at least to some degree either literally Gil Lechinuch or at least close to Gil Lechinuch. So the question is, but at what stage is Gil Lechinuch? At what point do we say that the child should be brought in terms of encouraging him to begin to daven? So here we find this Machlekes HaRishayim about just how much davening are children really supposed to be doing. So we mentioned before that when it comes to all mitzvahs, so there's a basic rule of chinuch. So again, in a Torah, the child doesn't have to eat in the sukkah until he's by mitzvah. But once he understands a little bit about sukkah, and he knows how to do it properly, the important shear in terms of chinuch is that the child knows how to do the mitzvah properly. So what's considered to be the child knows how to do the mitzvah properly for sukkah? So that's what the Gemara says, that once he knows that he can sleep through the night, and he doesn't call for his mother every 10 minutes, the mitzvah of sukkah is dira. It's supposed to be you're supposed to live like a big boy. Like you can sleep outside by yourself and you're not going to get nervous, not going to get scared. I know a lot of people who are 50 years old who are scared to sleep outside by themselves. So you sleep outside, and if you hear a noise outside, so you're not going to go running all of a sudden inside. So a skunk comes. So it starts to rain. You figure out how to deal with all the crises of camping out. But the child who's every 5 seconds, he calls for his mother. He can't deal sleeping outside. So then such a child is potter from the mitzvah sukkah. So the Gemara says that by a lot of mitzvahs, by lulav. The Gemara says the shiur of chinuch is once the kid knows how to shake the lulav. If he thinks that the lulav is bad, he hit his brother on the head with it.
He's learning Yilachinuch. So what age is a child a Yilachinuch for these inyanim of tefillah, kriyishma, brachas, etc.? So l'chor, the shir is once he understands what a bracha is a little bit. He doesn't have to understand every piyut of Rosh Hashanah. Most of us don't understand every piyut of Rosh Hashanah. He's got to get the basics. He knows he's talking to the Rebbe Shlom. He understands over lifnei HaMelech, things that we all know about, right? Hopefully all that tefillah looks like. So once the child reaches that age, then he's a Yilachinuch. So here we find this machlekes harishonim between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam as to whether we're supposed to be mechayev, whether we're obligated to be mechayev our children, primarily here our boys, in terms of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So Rashi has a chiddush in Maseches Brachos, third parak. Anyone learned Brachos recently? Okay, finished. So some people still catching up. Third parak. So comes Rashi and says that he thinks that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is different from all other mitzvahs. He doesn't think there's any chinuch in Kriya Shema. As important as Kriya Shema is, mitzvah kamos machas shemayim. He thinks we're not mechayev to be mechanech our children in Kriya Shema, even our sons. Manishdan in Kriya Shema. So says Rashi, because Kriya Shema is a very zman mesuyam to it. There's a very set time to it. You have to say it was zman Kriya Shema. You have to say it at the right time. You say Kriya Shema at the wrong time, it's ke'adam akar b'tayr. It's not really a mitzvah. So Rashi says that mistama chazal, we're not mechayev us to make sure our kids are up at the right time, make sure they're in shul at the right time. It's all the kids. Who says the kids up by 9 o'clock in the morning? Who says the kids up when it's zman Kriya Shema in the summertime? It doesn't get safe to come till 9 o'clock. So all our kids are angels. They're all sleeping fast asleep at the right time. So comes Rashi and says that since it's hard to practice chinuch when it comes to the mitzvah Kriya Shema, mistama Kriya Shema is the exception to the rule. So when the Mishnah says that nashim v'adam k'tanim p'tur b'Kriya Shema, the Mishnah says a katan is butter from Kriya Shema, Rashi says that's referring even to a katan she'egil l'chinuch, even though he's 9, 10 years old, he's old enough to do other mitzvahs, but Kriya Shema they were never mechayim because Kriya Shema is too hard. The zman is just too complicated for children. And Rabbeinu Tam says no. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with his grandfather. I don't know whether Rashi may have been putting Rabbeinu Tam to sleep. I don't know exactly what was going on there in between. But Rabbeinu Tam says it's not true. He says that a kotzer is only part of Kriya Shema. He's law gil lechinuch. Once he's a gil lechinuch, so it's like any other mitzvah. So vadi's supposed to recite the Kriya Shema. So how do we pass it l'halach? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions. So Shulchan Aruch writes that lechatchila we should try to train at least our boys. We should try to say him to say Kriya Shema at the right time. Lechatchila we should be chayshish Rabbeinu Tam. But the impression from the Shulchan Aruch is that Mikra did we don't follow this Rabbeinu Tam. That Mikra did we really pass it like Rashi. That really really bottom line is that we hold that there's no real chinuch for Kriya Shema. So strange as that sounds, Kriya Shema is one of the first things the kids learn to say in school, but in terms of being mechayev them to say Kriya Shema b'zman, we're not mechayev to make sure they get up on time. Lechatchila, it's the right thing to do, but mikra did, it's not necessary. So that's why if you have 8, 9, 10 year old, the boys, so they happen to be oversleeping one morning, so you're not mechayev to go throw them out of bed to get them to say Kriya Shema. You're not mechayev to make sure they stay up till 10 o'clock at night in the summertime to make sure they say Kriya Shema b'zman. We always have this problem with Tefillas Ayin. That's always a tricky chinuch problem. So we pass Ben Hashmashas. It's good enough. We have very early Ben Hashmashas in our family in the summertime. We're lined up like a vincha sheet. Whenever we have the sheet, we're lined for the kids. Okay, anyway, let's get back to the story. But what about Hilchos Tefillah itself? Forget about Kriya Shema. So here when it comes to Hilchos Tefillah, so the Shulchan Aruch writes that everybody agrees that Ketanim, once they gear l'chinuch, so they're supposed to be davening Shemoneh Esrei and Brachas, because Shemoneh Esrei is not such a locked-in time. Shemoneh Esrei, you have one time to daven. You have at least an extra hour to daven in the morning, and according to some Rishon, we would do Chatzai speaker, and then you can really daven with the Evid. And Vincha, if you have a whole afternoon, so it's not such a pressure cooker. You have to get Kriya Shema in at the right time. So when it comes to Hilchos Tefillah, then we go back to the regular rules that we should be training our children to daven. When it comes to Tefillah, so then the same is true when it comes to girls, because there is the Mishnah says in Maseches Brachos that Nosh Mechayamus B'Tefillah. So even though the Rambam has his famous Shita that it doesn't mean that obligated in Shemoneh Esrei, it just means that women have to daven a little bit every day, a little something, a private to Tefillah, but most of the Rishonim don't accept the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't accept the Rambam. Mishnah Berurah says we shouldn't follow this Rambam. We should follow the view that Nosh Mechayamus B'Tefillah. So if Nosh Mechayamus in Shemoneh Esrei, then we should be training our daughters to be davening Shemoneh Esrei as well. So when it comes to Meir of the Poskim Makel, both little boys and little girls, the Poskim write, since Tefillah Sarvus is really Rishus, it's not a real Chiyav. Mika, Mika, Medin anyway, Bismana Gemara, Medina Gemara. So therefore, the little girls don't have to have Meir, because the big girls don't have to daven ma'ariv, and even the little boys don't have to daven ma'ariv either, because there's no real chinuch on it. It's not an absolute requirement. But in terms of shachris and mitzvahs, so Shacharuch says we should be training our boys to be davening. So I think that that's the cutoff point. That's what we should say. We should say the cutoff point is hikir l'chinuch. So once a child is old enough that he knows how to daven, so then forget. Then we want to encourage him davka to come to shul. We want to encourage him davka to daven. Whenever we have chinuch, so we always try to encourage people to the children to fulfill the mitzvah bihidura, to fulfill the mitzvah in the greatest possible way. So when it comes to Netilas Lulav, so Chazal said that the shiur of chinuch is at the point where the child knows how to shake the lulav. So we already spoke about many times, the mitzvah is not shaking the lulav. The real mitzvah is picking up the lulav. The ikar adin is, you yait say once you pick up the lulav. So the nuav afterwards only lechet chinuch. The shaking is not ma'akev in the mitzvah. So why did the Chacham set up the shiur of chinuch at the point of not knowing? They should have said any person, any kid who knows how to pick up a lulav is chayev in chinuch. So the answer is that we want to train the children to do the mitzvahs properly. We don't want them to start off on the wrong foot. We don't want to train the children that, okay, well, you're 4 years old, you know how to pick up a lulav, I don't know how to shake, that's okay, you learn how to shake next year. No, we say, listen, get older. When you get to 5 years old, you get to 6 years old, you're old enough to know how to shake the lulav properly. So then that's when chinuch kicks in. So Chazal were always concerned when they instituted in Yom Chinuch that we don't want to train the kids to do mitzvahs in the wrong way. We want to train them to do things in the right way. So therefore, it's not a good thing if the child's able to. If the child's able to daven in a minyan, so then enochinami. Again, you have to always weigh that against everything else. If the child's not able to, he's going to come and daven in the minyan and he'll daven Shemoneh Esrei Mitzibah for 5 minutes and that'll drive you crazy for the next 2 hours. So then that's poor chinuch. So then at the expense of the good chinuch, we're having 2 hours of poor chinuch. So again, if the child's able to and has an ability to daven properly in a minyan, so then that's the proper thing to do. Look, if davening a minyan isn't an option for the child, just practically, it's not logistically, it's not going to work, so then at least we should train the child to daven Shemoneh Esrei by himself. If we can get him to say Kriya Shema, that's wonderful. If we can't get him to say Kriya Shema, that's also okay.
Does that mean that there's no kiyum of chinuch by buying him like a toy lulav and esrei?
Yeah, I don't think there's any kiyum whatsoever. Like my daughter threw a fit that she needed a stuffed lulav and esrei. So I bought her a little stuffed lulav. She's not chayavas in lulav and esrei even when she gets older. So you can buy a. But there's no. I don't think there's any kiyum of chinuch whatsoever. There is a machlekes rishonim when you mechanech somebody in a mitzvah, do you have to have all the details in the mitzvah in place also? Let's say, do I have to have a really kosher lulav? I'm not talking about a stuffed lulav. I'm talking about, you go to a store, the lulav, the tiyobas is split, the esrei's got a whole guy, whatever. It's basically an esrei, but it's not such an esrei. So is that good enough for the purposes of chinuch? That's a big machlekes rishonim. So the Ritva says that it's no good. The Ritva writes befeirush that you have to be mechanech a kid with a kosher lulav and esrei. Otherwise, that's poor chinuch. We're trying to train the kid to do mitzvahs, and we teach him how to do mitzvahs in the wrong way. So the Mordechai quotes in the Rav Yod, and it's not true. The Rav Mordechai says that to give him he doesn't say to give him a stuff lulav. They didn't have a stuff lulav in Germany in the 1100s. So to give him a stuff lulav, that's a nothing. That's I'm the Varmatel. But it's cute for the kid, but it's not real chinuch. But to give him a posel esrei, that would be okay. Because the idea of chinuch is that he should get used to doing the mitzvahs. When he gets older, he'll get a kosher set of nalaminim. So that's the machlekes. That's a big machlekes lahaloch about the first day of Sukkot. Because the Gemara says that on the first day of Sukkot, you can't give your child a lulav esrei until you shake it. Because you have to own the nalaminim. And if you give it to the child, then the child owns it, then he can't give it back to you. So the Gemara says, no problem. So you shake first and give it to him afterwards. The only problem is, in Chutz La'aretz, that's not going to work. That's not going to work in Chutz La'aretz, because in Chutz La'aretz, it has to be Lochem even on the second day. So then you have to figure out what to do. So either you have to have in mind, I'm not mocking it to him, so I'm not really giving it, I'm just lending it to him. But according to the Ritva, that's no good. Because according to the Ritva, he didn't own it, so he wasn't Yotzei the Mitzvah. So you have to rely on the Mordechai. Or you got to buy him his own set of Dalamina, then you got to figure out later how to do that. So that's
if the first day's on Shabbos, then you can.
First day on Shabbos, then you're home free. then you're great. Okay, so again, to get back to the story, so the basic tzura of what we're discussing is that to say that it's a good thing to bring children under the age of chinuch, so we find that very difficult to accept. Even in the base of Mikdash Vahakel, according to many, they didn't do that. And even in the year they did it for Hakdal, that was a once in a 7 year once, and that was a Yaitzim and a Klal. To extrapolate from there to every week in, week out, day in, day out, to bring little kids to Shul Stam to make a racket, so that that we didn't think there was any mokel from a Hakdal to justify that practice. If the child is a Gil Chinuch and it can be done in an appropriate manner, that it doesn't have all the other problems of bothering other people from davening and bothering the father from davening and teaching poor shul habits, so then it's a wonderful thing, that it's a good thing. But once the child has to be at least to some degree either a little chinuch or maybe the Ramban's pre-chinuch, maybe a little bit, but it's got to be some positive age where it's going to be a positive, a real positive chinuch shul experience. Once we have our children sitting like little malochim at our sides, every once in a while we run into shilas that come up. You know, we had a grandiose plan of bringing the kids. Sometimes the kids are older and they also pose these problems. Sometimes we thought they were old enough to sit still in shul and it turns out that they're not. So we sometimes run into problems in that area where I'm in the middle of davening and the kid's making a racket. So I think it's an open and shut case what the aloha is. The aloha is you take the kid out and finish and end the discussion. There's nothing to discuss. There's no justification for staying in shul. I don't care whether you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. I don't care what you're in the middle of. You're allowed to be mafsik in Shmoneh Esrei. If it's Letzarech Shmoneh Esrei, it's a Tzarech HaTfilah. So it's a Tzarech. Madach, you're allowed to be mafsik for your own Tzarech HaTfilah. You're allowed to be mafsik for the Tzarech of 500 people around you. So Lefiyani is 90. I don't care whether you're in the middle of Musaf and Rosh Hashanah. If your kid is next to you and he's making a racket, pick him up and Davin Bichir is outside. I think that there's absolutely zero justification for a person causing other people's interruptions of tefillah because he doesn't want to be mafsik. It can't be. That's today's daf. Chateke deshiz ke chavercha. So this is the opposite of chateke deshiz. Tomorrow's daf. For those who don't do daf at night, it's the up and coming daf. So I think lafian is that the person is mechuyev to just take the kid out and finish. End of discussion. But sometimes you don't have a blatant issue in terms of hefsek. Sometimes you have other issues that come up with having children in shul. And this some of the shailas are particularly when you have girls in shul. So if the girls are in the Ezra's Nashim, then we have less of these problems, but sometimes you have girls in the men's section. So it becomes somewhat of a question in the following sense. So we know that there are very real halachas about how what one is permitted to say in front of a girl who's not dressed appropriately. So we know that halacha tells us, also sugi masechet brachas, dinim in hilchas kriyashma, that a person is not supposed to say divrei kedusha, divrei tvila, things of kriyashma, anything. Hopefully that's the only thing that we're doing in shul. I mean, schmoozing, that you can schmooze in front of someone who's not dressed appropriately, but that shouldn't be taking place in shul. But anything of divrei kedusha, divrei Torah, divrei tefillah, obviously cannot be said in front of somebody who's dressed inappropriately. The question is, at what age is considered to be inappropriate for these halachas? So very often you have little girls who are coming into shul who may be at the ripe old age of 3 years old, and they're not necessarily covered from head to toe. I don't mean that literally in that sense of the word, but I'm saying they may not necessarily have all the standards in terms of chasidus. And the question is, how does that play out for the other mispalim? The person wants to daven, and there's a girl who's sitting there who's not dressed quote unquote properly. So this is a big machlokes in the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazanish as to at what age do we say that these halachas apply? What age do we say that there's a problem of erva in terms of saying kriyash, but saying brachas, etc., in front of a little girl? So the Mishnah Berurah Nuchas Kriyashma assumes that the cutoff point is 3 years old. The Mishnah Berurah says it's the same as we find in other areas of halacha. Baz Gimel Shanim is considered to be biyasabia. That's halacha Moshe Mesinai. That once he reaches the age of 3, that's considered to be a maisabia for all practical purposes in halacha. So the Mishnah Berurah assumes if it's biyasabia, then it's arvosa erva also. And therefore, whatever one is not allowed to do in the presence of an older woman who is not dressed appropriately, one wouldn't be permitted to do in the presence of a little girl over the age of 3 as well. This is the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. The Chazanish disagrees. The Chazanish says that he thinks it depends. If the girl's mamish undressed, literally, her vosa is uncovered, so then the Mishnah Berurah is right that if he did, it's considered to be a mokum erva, then you wouldn't be permitted to daven. But that's usually not the case. Usually the case is the girl's walking in with shorts, or the way she's sitting is equivalent to wearing shorts, or she's sleeveless, or other things, the things that normally would not be appropriate to be davening in front of. So the Chazanish writes that he thinks that all of these other halachas don't have the status of erva mamish; they have the status of a chashash of hirur. That means that one is not permitted to say Devarim Shem Kedusha in a situation where one is afraid that one is going to be maharer, that one is going to have inappropriate thoughts. So the Chazanish says, depends on the age of the girl. He says, for a normal, healthy individual, we would hope that a 3-year-old girl sitting in shorts is not going to bring hirur. So the Chazanish says that he thinks that Meikar Adin, one is permitted to say Dvarim Shebekadusha in front of a girl, even though she's 3 years old, even though she may not be necessarily dressed appropriately. And what if she's 4 years old? And what if she's 5 years old? So Chazanish says, I'm not giving you a number. That's what he writes. He writes to Pharisees, I'm not giving you a cutoff point. He says, Lefi Godla. He says, depends. Depends. You can have a 5 year old who looks like 8, you can have an 8 year old who looks like 5. He says that I'm not giving you there's no ironclad number, no ironclad year. He says that once the girl reaches the point where there may be a. It's cold outside. It's our pleasure to have you. You're on tape. Which yeah, there's always room. There's always room. Somebody just told me a beautiful word. Was telling me today about Omdim Tzfuf Mishlach Mervachim. The Mishnah says that they were stuffed in the base of Mikdash, they couldn't move, and then when it came time for Yishlach Havah, so they had plenty of room. So somebody just today was telling me that Rabbi Neuberger said some beautiful words on that. He said that why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he's already making a nace, that there was plenty of room, why did they have to be cramped when they came? Why couldn't they have a lot of room when they walked in? So he said, no. He said, they needed the Mesiris Nefesh. They had to come to feel that they're cramped. It means if you're going to come and you think it's just a party, everything, no, they had to come thinking they're going to be cramped, and then they were standing cramped. And Mesiris that Mesiris Nefesh, and being, then all of a sudden, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the nace. So we have to have a little bit of Mesiris Nefesh, a little something. So, Sasha, you're the Mesiris Nefesh. You're being Mesiris everybody in the Mesiris Nefesh right now. Okay, we'll get you a chair if you want, but we're almost done. So anyway, getting back to the story. So the Chazanish says that the whole nature of the din of saying Kriyish, but saying brachas and tefillah in front of a woman who's not dressed appropriately is a chashash of here. It's not a real din of erva, and therefore if the girl is not quite old enough to be a chashash of here, then he doesn't think that it's a problem. So it's they say Ramesh held that way also. I don't know whether it's in print in Ramesh, but suppose with Pia Shmua that Ramesh held that way. That was the meeting on the Lower East Side. That was the meeting. Okay, didn't ask. Okay, that was.
I didn't
talk with
Ramesh.
You know, right. Anyway, so that seems to be the meeting in Rector Court also. That when a 3 year old girl, including my own daughter, who's 5 years old, who comes into shul and sometimes in. And you have to be careful you say on tape. You know, she mentioned about the fun of her shidduch someday. So you never know. Like, once you say something, it's up there forever. So if once in a while, you know, for a mayor or something on a weeknight, you know, it's a little more casual look. So we literally look the other way. We assume, like the Chazanish, that's what that minhag is. But the question is, you know, at what age does the halacha change? So I remember somebody was once pushing Rabbi Willig about this. They asked him, at what age we said the girl is really too old, that's ready a chashash. So his response was, at the age that she shouldn't be in the men's section anymore. That was the response. So, which pushes the question, at what age? So I'll answer the same answer that the Chazanish said. The Chazanish said about how old does the girl have to be for in terms of the erva. So the answer is, I can't give an answer. There is no absolute answer. I don't want to put a number on, I don't want to give an official number policy to show. The answer is that when common sense dictates, it shouldn't be done anymore. That's the funniest idea. What the shear is. So one has to be careful with this. There's also sugi masechah sukkah. The gemara masechah sukkah talk the whole mukkah from mechitza and shul was in daven sukkah be shoeva. We spoke about this. This is the Friday night shul at night, right? Wasn't this a Friday night shul once? No. It was one of the sukkah shirim. I remember chilling at one time. So one has to be careful about this. That again, I can't give you an ironclad answer to the question. So at whatever age, the father has to decide. Someone has to decide that girl shouldn't be in shul anymore. So I think that's the appropriate age for all of this. So kol panim, just a little bit of a sikum from the halachic point of what we're talking about is that in terms of is Hakel considered to be a model or not? We're not really sure, because we're not even sure what the Dibay Hakel really was. In terms of the Chiyuv of Chinuch, so Kriyash Masa Machalik Zivishonim, Shonim, Tefillah, there really is a Chiyuv of Chinuch, but again, one has to balance that Chiyuv of Chinuch together with everything else. One has to be very, very careful that when we're Mechanech children, so we're Mechanech children in the right message. So sometimes, even if the child is getting a little bit of a positive Chinuch by coming to Shul, the question is he picking up how many more negative vibes of chinuch is he picking up in the process? So that's also a very, very delicate question. Like, you know, when you chinuch somebody, so we want to get a good positive outcome. Like you find like this in a lot of shows of chinuch. Let's say it comes to a point when the kid doesn't want to daven. So you start saying, you know, you should daven. The kid doesn't want to daven. He's not going to daven. He's not. So you start screaming, you have a chuyim in the rabbanan. It's a mitzvah to have a chuyim. It's a mishli. You have to daven. So at the end of the day, is that going to accomplish long-term chinuch? It's probably going to be long-term turning the kid off. So you have to, the poskim say, there's a real svar. You have to always be careful that the chinuch should be goal-oriented. It should accomplish something. So the question is, if you bring a child to shul, even if it's a gil chinuch, but if the impression it gets from shul is that shul means you daven for 30 seconds and then you hunt around for lollipops for the next 2 hours. So the question is, are we setting this, planting the seeds for somebody who maybe in 20 years from now won't be looking for lollipops, but maybe when he gets bored in shul, maybe looking for other things to eat and drink, and believe it at that. So again, I don't know, no one's made an official study of any correlation between lollipops as a child and kiddush clubs as adults, but I'd be fascinated if someone would be willing to do the research on that study. We may want to cut that out of the that particular correlation, but I think it's something. I'm saying a little bit of a joke right now, but there's a little bit of seriousness in the joke also, that we have to be very, very careful that we're not planting seeds of children of that it's okay to talk in shul, it's all right to interrupt in shul, it's all right to walk in and out of shul. These are very, very real chinuch concerns. These are not just shul concerns. These are chinuch. These are parent and children, real, real, very serious halachic / hashkafic concerns.
Is there any, if your child is begging you,
so then, if you really feel that it's important enough chinuch, then you take him for a short amount of time, and then you leave. Then it can't be that. The other option is that you can't have the kid in shul. If the kid's not going to sit in shul properly, then that's not an option. So you have to leave. So then a person has to make a cheshbon. Maybe chinuch is more important than my davening musaf betzim. Maybe. I'm not saying it is or not. I'm just saying maybe that's a very real cheshbon. Somebody just called me now about it's not a chinuch issue. The kid was sick. The whole story of tomorrow morning, the kid has to have a procedure done. So the guy's cool. He wants to know about can he daven shachris in 1 minyan, then help to take the kid to get the procedure done, then daven musaf in another minyan, and pashke rana. I said, whatever you have to do, you have to know. I said, you have to take care of your kid. So that's first and foremost. So I said to him, I don't know if anyone heard, I said, and if you're afraid you're going to miss musaf, you got a month, so you'll get musaf at 3 o'clock afternoon. No problem. You'll get oshanas by 5 o'clock tomorrow. You can still plenty of places in the New York area. You can get oshanas tomorrow, right? I don't think it should be a problem. Okay. I don't mean the things to clap. I mean walking around the people. Plenty of places. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So up until now,
when it comes to being mafsik during tefillah to help out a child, is that a good message to help them out? Or is it?
No, I don't think in terms of helping out. So I think that only when if the other option is going to disrupt the davening, if the kid's making a fuss that's going to disrupt the davening, then it's brave of them to have some tzarcha tefillah. If it just goes the, you know, you want to make him happier with the lollipop, but he's not doing anything, he's just sitting there, then I don't think you have a right to be mafsik.
What would you do in a movie theater?
It's a movie theater. Anyway, so up until now, you know, we were talking more in the terms of halacha, and we're talking more in the sense, a little bit in the sense of yisurim, things that we shouldn't be doing, things that we should be careful about, which are important. But I think that there's a very important message about chinuch, specifically as it relates to a Shabbos and Yom Tov, because this is really when, during the week, it's usually not such a serious issue. Most of the kids are in school during the week, so whatever they're doing in school, they're doing. Most of the kids are not running around Ma'ariv time. Ma'ariv's only 10 minutes in shul, so it's not usually a big deal. Obviously, we're talking about primarily Shabbos and Yom Tov. So I think there's a very, very small nuance in the Nuscha Tefillah that we have when the Shabbos and Yom Tov or Shabbos and Chol HaMoed coincide, which I think really is the secret ultimately behind Chinuch, particularly in Shabbos and Yom Tov time, but really all the time throughout the year. So we say in the davening, and then after we mention Shabbos is there, Yom Chagasukos is there, and we throw in another word, Bi'ava Mikra Kodesh. It's redundant. We just said Ava 2 minutes ago. Another Ava. So I think Chazal was so medayek. Sakin, Nuscha Tefillah, that they wanted to make sure that Shabbos gets its Ahava and Yontov gets its Ahava. You know, one thing we're not going to be skimpy on. Everything else we'll throw together. Mekash Tov Azman, Mekash Shabbos Yosemman, we'll throw it all together in one big lump together. But Ahava is something that we can't be cheap on, particularly Shabbos and Yontov time. So I think this is really the ultimate message in terms of Chinuch. That if we want to be Mechanech our children properly, if we want to be Mechanech them in Tefillah properly, or in any area of Halacha for that matter, properly, so that the child has to experience love. They have to see that the parent loves the mitzvah. If a person thinks that they're doing the child a service in terms of chinuch by bringing him to shul, and then when they get home at lunch, the parents are complaining that naturally the rabbi doesn't talk so long. The rabbi spoke too long, and there were too many mishaberachs, and the balkari wasn't fast enough. Although for Kehelis Day, we very, very hard claim for anybody to humanly make such a claim. I think we are entering Dr. Tiger into the world's record in that one. But I have to be honest. I hope you don't mind. I have to be honest. In the 8 years here, it was the only time ever that you lost even me. I was at one point was 6 feet behind you, but I did catch up and I won it at the end. Like I beat you on the Chas Chatim. I only took me one second over there. I took you three, and we the marathon here, last lap. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So, Rabbi Sai, on a serious note, I said, if we don't love being in shul, if we don't love davening, and we think that we're going to impart our children a chinuch of davening, then we're talking the wrong language to them. That the children are very smart, they're smarter than we are, and they understand, and they'll pick up nuances. And if a child sees a parent walking out in the middle of davening, not because he's walking out, because sometimes a person has to go out, whatever, okay? Guy, he needs a little breath of fresh air in the middle of Chazos HaShatz. So I'm not talking about Yom Kippur. He doesn't feel well. Okay, he sees, you know, these kinds of activities. He sees that things which are clearly a demonstration that there's a certain chisar in avas atfila from the parents. So then that inevitably is going to create the wrong message of chinuch. So I think that the correct message of chinuch in terms of tefillah, in terms of Shabbos and Yom Tov, particularly if we want to instill in our children avos a Shabbos, so then we have to build on ourselves. We have to work on our own avos and mitzvahs. We want to instill in our children avos Yom Tov. So a person is going to sit and kvetch about he wants to watch the ball game and now it's Shabbos and it's got the World Series is here and there and I can't make it to left. So what? You know when it says in we say in the Oshanas, Yoshevus at close Shabbos, the sitting and waiting, Mamtenas until the end of Shabbos. So it doesn't mean I'm waiting to. The Mefarshim talk about that. What that means doesn't mean because I can't run. I can't wait to run out and go do what I want to do Mitzvah Shabbos. It means I don't want to do Malacha until close Shabbos. I want to make sure I'm doing the mitzvahs properly. Meaning a long Shalashudis, I close to whatever I'm doing. I close to Shabbos. But if we give the impression that Shabbos is not as man of Ava and Yom Tov is not as man of Ava and Tefillah is not as man of Ava, and since we're already holding before some Torah, we could throw on Torah also for good luck. Said if we think that we're going to be mechanech at children and learning in avos haTorah, and if we don't express an avos haTorah, we don't have that avos haTorah ourselves, then we're mamish. We're talking out of two sides of our mouth. It's not going to work. So lefiani is daiti that we have to be careful in terms of maintaining the moira mikdash, in terms of the mikdash ma'ad, in terms of maintaining the tzura of what a shul is supposed to look like. At the same time, to balance that very, very delicately with the proper chinuch. We want to make sure mechanech had children. We want to make sure mechanech had children properly. So I think hopefully some of these guidelines should be a little bit helpful in terms of putting things into proper perspective and what I think is the correct model of chinuch that Chazal have tried to teach us to emulate. So hopefully we should be zeicha that we'll fulfill the mitzvah of Hakel and the next Motzei Shmit of Sukkis. So hopefully we'll be zeicha to bring the taf, whether it will be the Ramban's taf or the Rashi's taf or Yerim's taf, whatever it is, but hopefully we'll be zeicha that all of our children will be the chovu, be mekayim, the chovu, banayach, limudei Hashem, v'rav shalom.